accident. I believe that we can elevate any and everything, no matter what we're subdued to. Why? Because we all are here on purpose. Yes, Lord, I'm Cowboy 347, and you guys know how we articulate these things. I put together a stick so that you guys can be inspired to be pulled out of your mental quicksand as creatives and entrepreneurs around the world. Yes, Lord, and today I have somebody who is willing to give you a front row seat to his purpose-driven passion. And before I go any further, I want him to introduce himself. Yes, Lord.
Peace, world. I am an artist, creative, optimist, filmmaker, recent filmmaker, you know, award-winning filmmaker. I want to make sure I say that. And, you know, just trying to be the change that I wish to see in the world. You know, oftentimes it's so hard to do something and have it have an impact. And I just believe we all are born, we all die, and that little dash in between is what really matters. And so I'm just trying to, you know, make a difference and leave something impactful for the world and society at large.
Man, you know what? That was an extremely modest introduction, Brother D, which allows me to do what I do best. Download the free iHeartRadio app. We're on Spotify, Player FM. If you guys want to check out all the other syndication platforms, click the Media Club link. Yes, Lord. Brother Daniel, before we get started, I just want to take the time to celebrate you. I want to celebrate you, brother, for having the audacity to have an impeccable, ostentatious relationship with artistry. A writer, a producer, a philanthropist. You are youthful in spirit, and this proves the benefits of longevity and passion work. Yes, Lord. Brother Daniel, man, we're here today because we have a mutual agreement within the stance of a certain element, you know, in the social constructs of the world, and how artistry and passion work is, you know, is implicated. We can do that, but when we met, generally we had a mutual understanding of a certain element that's, you know, affecting our culture. You know, and it's impaling us from progressing to greater feats and greater standards because of it. So I want to give you the mic, man, to share with the world why you're here today.
So the conversation we had, it was surrounding a couple of things, you know, but you mentioned culture, right? And I think as a man, I found myself unlearning and doing a whole lot of unlearning of things that I once celebrated, tolerated, stood by and watched. I don't know. So, you know, I'm really trying to think back. I don't know if I so much participated per se, but, you know, if you are partaking in something or if you're standing and watching it, you're just as guilty. Right. But, you know, hip-hop, which I love and I grew up in, and that was the only culture that I identify with. So you had people who had, you know, West Indian culture, you know, whether Asian culture. There's all these different elements, and I never had that as a Black American living in Boston, right? Yeah. Afro-American, Black American, an American who looks like me. I never had that I can identify with and be a part of and celebrate. And so hip-hop was that. And so whether, you know, everything from NWA, Public Enemy, etc., right? And fast forward, I'm doing a super time warp. I just, you know, there was a lot of instances of tragedies happening around me where women were being harmed or killed due to domestic violence. Right. And, you know, one in particular, it just really broke my heart. And it was close to Christmas. And I just felt helpless, and I just was sad, and I cried, and I couldn't figure out, you know, what I could do to change the next. And I started thinking, like, what could I do, right? And, you know, you can make a song and, like, share it with your friends, right? And everyone was like, oh, man, that's a great song. Good for you, man, and clap. But I wanted to do something and try to do course correction, which, you know, the shirt, corrective action is the only option, right? Black Dollar, that's my company, too. So long story short, I wrote a song called Cry For Me. And I wanted to make a song that sonically sounded good and appealed, and it would have replay value, and it wouldn't be so dark and heavy dealing with the topic of sexual abuse and domestic violence. So that was the first task. I wanted to make something that was sonically, like, easy to listen to, right? So I feel like I accomplished that. Then I wrote a video, but then I took the video, flushed it out, and wrote a short film that ended up being 20 minutes and 1 second. Wow. And I wrote it from a real place. You know, I was very mindful that I didn't want to have any violence, intentional, like, gratuitous violence in the film. Because we've already seen that, and I don't feel like it adds anything. It's actually more impactful if you use your imagination of what you think just happened. So the film shows, and it actually stars my wife in real life. And we drew from some real experiences of something starting really small and quickly escalating, right? And I think going through therapy and marriage, you know, it going through therapy and marriage or individual therapy, which I've done both, it allows you to look internally, right? And have different conversations with yourself and reflections and light bulb aha moments. And so for me, I really made this because I want to try to prevent the next victim turned survivor. And a lot of these rooms that I'm in where I'm supporting domestic violence advocates and victims and survivors, it's all women talking to each other. There's no men in the room. And if there is a man, it's probably one and maybe, like, you know, a family member was impacted. But no one's there saying, we're drawing a line. Enough is enough. You know what I'm saying? So I'm putting myself out there. I'm drawing a line in the sand. And, you know, I think the more I'm getting into it, it's such a dark space. And I'm being very mindful to stay in the light as much as possible. Because it's very dark. It runs rampant. It's happening all the time. Women who I'm talking to and I'm sharing this movie with are coming up and giving their own testimonials, which they may not have shared with anyone. I seen someone online the other day whose face was pretty much mutilated, right? And she posted a picture, and it was her boyfriend. It was her husband that did it. And I watched how a lot of people ignored it, or people just did. What do you say to that, right? When you see that on Facebook, what do you say? So I inboxed her and reached out and tried to help, and sent her some information that she can get real help and real shelter in the moment. And even in doing that, I realized that I'm putting myself out there where there could be repercussions if she is not the only one having her phone, right? Because if someone's doing that to her, if someone's trying to help, they're going to feel away. But I have to draw a line in the sand and stand in that. So it is what it is.
And to you know, As a husband and a father of three, you know, I was divorced, and I believe in union. I believe in companionship. I believe in, you know, Ezer, right? Genesis 2:18, Ezer. God created women as the most beautiful entity of the face of this earth. And to fellowship with you, as a cognitive therapist and utilizing this Theater of the Mind platform, D, this is a very special moment, because, you know, there is conversations happening out there. There's podcasts that's out there, you know, and this is going to be on my radio show as well. But I wanna take advantage of this and kind of veer this in another direction, because, you know, as an entrepreneur, as an artist, as a writer, director, you know, the Black Dollar brand, and you know, there's so many things that we can talk about and we will talk about. But I want to talk about this line being drawn in the sand and you having the courage to get on the front line and to use some of your sweat equity to draw cause, right? To draw awareness to this cause and almost making your cause your career, right? There's this thing where I have to ask you, what was the breaking point and how did we say that I'm going to step out, right? Because this is a dark space. What was the breaking point? How did we get to that point? Now, I know you shared, you know, some of the aspects before Christmas, and shout out to your wife, and we're going to get into the film. Mm-hmm. But what was the straw that broke the camel's back for you internally?
Well, so the film, you know, and you saw the film is dedicated to Sherelle Pringle. And her birthday is actually in 7 days, I believe. You know, my wife, knew her. I met her, beautiful sister, you know, young, you know, early 40s. And she, you know, had an on and off again boyfriend. I don't know the full intricate details. And even if I did, I don't know, because it's still an ongoing thing, but just for context and framing, you know, she went out, she had just purchased a home. She has a son. I don't remember offhand how old the son is, but the son, say maybe 18, 19. She just purchased a home. She left, never made it back home. Right. And it became a social media. Everyone was sharing her picture, trying to find her. Right. The family went to the police and tried to get them to search. The police weren't proactive. And kind of was like, you know, enough time hasn't passed, which is a problem in itself, right? Because every aching minute matters, right? So to have this thing, which I tried to tweak and do something, and I don't want to speak on it too much because I'm still trying to figure that out, and I want to have something in Sherelle's honor. But anyway, the family ended up putting together a search party, and they ended up finding Sherelle on the side of the road, right? And they did it using her phone and pinging her location and the whole thing. And when I tell you, like, the whole community of, you know, people who live in Boston, people that lived in Boston but now they live in Atlanta, like, everybody was sharing her picture, right? And I was just hopeful of, like, you know, maybe blah blah blah, but just it was just, it broke my heart. And I've seen that before, and I've seen people share missing people, but this particular thing really broke my heart. And I cried, you know, and I couldn't figure out. It's just awful. And I think that there's a lot of things that I just started thinking about and going down a rabbit hole. And I think when it comes to women and their experience, right? And I've always had a certain, you know, divine feminine, right? I've always had a certain feminine understanding, I guess, right? Yeah. I'm definitely a man's man, but I'm not walking in a room and beating my chest and burping and farting just because, right?
Yeah, that's
but I always was the guy that had the friends, the girlfriends who were, you know, guys were having their way with and doing whatever with, and they're the ones that come and talk to me about how their day goes. I'm that guy, right? So I never got to partake in the fruit, so to speak. but, you know, I think just thinking about, like, the woman experience, the female experience of when they walk out their house, the moment, as a black man, we have our experiences, right? When we walk into the world, there's things that we deal with that you and I know. And even if we can't articulate it, me looking at you and you looking at me, we know.
Yeah.
Women, when they're walking out the house and they could look awful, curlers, the whole thing, coal in their eyes, saliva on their face, they're still being catcalled, right? If they don't respond, they didn't get disrespected. It could actually turn violent if a person tries to approach them and they deny and say, I'm married or I have a boyfriend or I'm not interested. And there's just so much toxicity that's happening. And I just wanted to do something and not be quiet about it. And I think that in our community in particular, with like figureheads, and we're seeing all this unraveling with Diddy and others, right, and just all this stuff. And it's not like it's a secret, but it's just been happening, right? And take away the power thing. Power dynamics is a different thing. But just even in our families, you know, there's the uncle that we knew was a little handsy and doing stuff, but no one ever said anything. Don't talk about that, right? I'm past that point.
Right.
You know, and I don't feel like it's necessarily my role to be a whistleblower per se. However, for me, if you are that person and I know of it, I can't stand next to you. I'm not taking pictures with you. I'm not doing a song with you. I'm not doing a film with you. I'm not getting on your podcast. You're not coming on mine. I'm making a very clear line of what I am standing next to. It's important.
Thank you so much for you definitely answered the question, right? The line is drawn in the sand, ladies and gentlemen. And D, thank you for drawing that line. You know, like I said, as a man of God, and you know, easier, and as a man of God, and as God seeing women as precious entities for to be a man's distressure, to make the world a peaceful place. I'm also a father of a young woman, and you know, there is, man, definitely certain principles that definitely allow me to move, you know, morally correct, veering away from degenerate activity, right? And not to say or to come off in any type of way, but when it comes to protection, when it comes for advocacy, I relate to you in regards to what you're expressing, because there is a language that's being spoken in the world today. Right. For example, with figureheads, not only that, as adults with family members on social media, certain families are expressing their experiences with family members at young ages. And, you know, this is absolutely a great time to speak up, right, and draw a line in the sand. We saw the interview with Cat Williams, and, you know, he talked about what the year of 2024 is supposed to represent. And it is the year of authenticity, and it's the year of exposure. So I'm pretty sure that as the year unravels, there's going to be a lot more of individuals having the courage to just expose certain truths that can contribute to the world becoming a better place. So with that being said, Brother D, in the acronym, in the practical theology of what you're sharing, brother, what is the mission and vision, right, behind this energetic tide right now?
The tide of the world, or my contribution?
Your contribution.
I just think, man, you know, it's an age-old saying, and it can be corny depending on who says it. If you know better, you do better. Right? And I have two daughters, and you know, it's you know, my oldest daughter is 26. You know, talking to her, you could tell that she's young. You know what I'm saying? She's mature, she's smart. You could tell that she's young though.
Right.
But looking at her, and if she's walking down the street, she can look like an older woman, right? And so I'm just even watching how the world interacts with her and may view her, and how predators can prey on. And so I can't guard them 24 hours a day, right? When they leave the house, there's a certain anxiety that I have naturally. Right. And I have a son also. So a young black man, that's a whole other ball of wax.
Right.
But what I can do is at least be very vocal about what is not tolerated, what should be called out, what should be shamed, and create that ecosystem here so that they know. And so if they find themselves in a situation, which a lot of women, 8 out of 10 women who I know and love have had some experience with domestic violence and sexual abuse. And I'm even going forward to say that the other two that say that they haven't probably just don't feel like sharing it. Right? It's just something that happens. And it's awful. And it's just, it just is what it is. And it shouldn't be. And so for me, there's tangible things that I feel. And the one thing that I'll say is, you know, predators will find people who they deem as weak, right? Not every woman that's walking around is fortunate enough to have you as their dad, right? And so what does that look like when they go to the library, or if they go to the club, or if they go to the registry of motor vehicles? What does that protection look like? And so for me, I'm not trying to overextend myself, but I'm mindful of when I see a woman walking by herself and assessing what I think that looks like and how I can help in real time. Right. Right? So if that's walking up to the bus stop, mm-hmm. and me saying good morning, or, you know, hey, how are you? Right? And I'm in Boston, and so women aren't so warm and fuzzy, so they might not speak back, right?
Right,
but that's fine. And I now understand why. It's not that they're being mean, right? But usually if someone says hi, they're going through all these things in their head of, is he trying to now, like, an icebreaker? Is he trying to talk to me? And this is going to turn into... It's all these things that we, as men, we don't deal with. Yeah. Someone says hi to us, we... Hey, what's up, man? What's up, bro? Hey, man. All right, King.
Right.
You know? So, anyway, to put a button on it, I think that I am trying to be intentional about being a change that I want to see in the world. I don't want to say I love the exposure. I love that people are feeling empowered to tell their truths and their experiences. Yeah. I hate that some people are integrating themselves into experiences that they didn't experience, which then typically muddies the pot.
Yeah.
Right? And I also hate that people don't have the empathy to understand how things work. So it's very easy to say, oh, you was abused 20 years ago. How come you didn't say nothing back then? And how come you didn't? And how come you still work there? It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. And so sometimes it takes people a month, a year, 30 years, 50 years, if ever, for them to even understand and process that I was violated.
Yeah.
And as a man, my first sexual experience is when I was 8 years old. Mm. And the girl was 13. Now, I made a record about it. I kind of, you know, for years, I would say, yeah, that was my first. Because I came on to her. She was my tutor. Right. But it wasn't until my son was 8 years old and I looked at him one day, and I said, I couldn't imagine him having sex with somebody. And at that moment, I realized that I was taken advantage of. Now, I didn't live my life as a victim and feeling violated, but it's not okay.
No.
So, you know.
Wow, you really took it there. You know, they say when one or two are together, the spirit is there. And I see our fellowship is getting kind of fiery right now. We're having a moment because, you know, abuse is a real thing, not just for women, but also for men. In this aspect, we're talking from, you know, the point of view that, you know, your passion is being drawn to. And this point that you brought up, you know, as men, you know, I lost my virginity around the same age, 7 or 8, when I was in a foster home.
Mm.
Okay. Now, you know, growing up, subconsciously, you would look at it as, you know, an okay thing, not really understanding the ramifications until you start to mature. You know, looking back on that, you know, I could have lost my life, right? You know, I could have contracted something. I could have, right? But the aspects of it is that, you know, that area, that small space where you look at your child, because I have a son as well, and looking at him at that age, it's like, your stomach starts to turn into knots, right? There's this traumatic, reference that now has you looking at everything in a non-trusting eye, and your protection levels, your protection meter goes through the roof because you just never know. But, with that being said, I think that this is a great conversation to have as entrepreneurs, creators, right? Because, we need to, include the humane process while we're convicted in this, chasing the wind thing, because we want to make sure that intention is always in the right space, being the people who we are. So I have to ask you, with that being said, in regard to the world and where we're at right now, right? How does the Black Dollar brand, how does, DL as the director, the producer, allow his assets to, actually invest or contribute or promote, right? Defense, promote advocacy, right? Promote, the cause, in the future.
I think everything that I've experienced and seen and heard and witnessed has brought me to this point. And, everything that I am doing, I now realize that I've always been of service, right? In some way, shape, or form. And what I realized this morning, I was thinking out loud and kind of just driving in silence. I've spent more time helping others or dedicating myself to others' projects or initiatives than I've ever given to myself for anything, right? And when those things don't pan out, I'm really hurt because of how much I have put into. Black Dollar is not necessarily because I wanted to create hoodies. Black Dollar was about having the dollar circuit, increasing the dollar from 6 hours in the Black community to 7 days. That was my ambition. And group economics or powernomics, as the great Claude Anderson says, right? But I understand why it's a lack of group economics within the Black community, because I once subscribed to it. Like, we won't go next door to the local Black-owned grocery store if there is one, right? We will still go to Star Market or Shaw's or Piggly Wiggly, depending on where you live, right? Shout out to South Carolina. I used to, but, Asians do it beautifully. They practice group economics beautifully. They have their own mall with travel agency, nail salon, bank, restaurant, auto mechanic, beautifully. It's all insulated, right? Beautiful. And so for us, others have such a head start from where we are. But if we are intentional about, if you buy coffee 5 days a week and you go to Starbucks, maybe find a local Black-owned coffee shop or a Black and brown owned coffee shop, and at least once or twice a week, integrate that into your spending of coffee. Yes. Just small incremental steps. So Black Dollar itself is of service to us. Cry for Me was to course correct for young people, young men and older men, of being mindful of what they're doing. Because oftentimes people don't necessarily see themselves as they are, right? You may not realize, when we think of abuse, people tend to think of punching in the face. But there's so many other levels of abuse. Right. It could be taking, your wife's mail or your girlfriend's mail and opening it and reading it and hiding it from her. It could be going in her phone and looking through and figuring out. It could be saying, I don't want you dressing like that. Make sure you put that on and taking. It's all these things. And so I'm just simply trying to have the conversation, also put myself out there in a way where change can be, it can force course correction. And you know, one thing that you said, which I guess it is what it is, but I don't want to have my mission and my optimism be my career, so to speak, and that the thing that makes me a millionaire, because it's off of pain and trauma and things that I'm trying to fix. But I guess similar to how police officers have their careers, if there's no crime, there's no police. Yeah. Unless they're creating a crime themselves. That's right, a separate, that's a separate conversation. But you know, without trauma, there's not trauma response teams. Right? So it just is what it is, and I feel like you're either part of the solution or part of the problem. That's another old cliche saying. But it's very true, you know. It is, so
I love the Black Dollar format, you know, just kind of getting our culture to understand, you know, the value of a dollar after 10 years, including inflation, and, you know, cry for help being this aspect of, you know, demonstration regarding this cause. And I get it and I see it, and I gotta ask you to share with the audience right now where they can actually access, you know, your platforms and everything you have going on right now.
So Cry For Me, the music video, which is inspired by the film, that's on YouTube, and if you Google Cry For Me Daniel Laurent, you'll see it. The film, just because it's still being reviewed by film festivals, it can't be just accessible online. I'm actually looking into a few different distribution options, because I think that would be really dope. I've done some private screenings. I'm looking to do more private screenings. So if anyone listening has a program or works at a university or a high school, I would love to have that conversation and facilitate that. There's domestic violence coaches and advocates that I work with also, because I believe in sharing this film, it's almost irresponsible to just share this film and say, all right, guys, have a nice night, right? Because you're possibly ripping Band-Aids off and people are now raw, right? And going home and they don't have the tools to figure out what to do next. So any conversation that I have, I would love to have the team that I'm building a part of that, right? Or if you have your own team and I can arrange for you to show the film privately, definitely reach out. And it would be my honor, because I made this as a tool. This wasn't my, you know, Madea Goes to Jail movie. And no slight to Tyler Perry, right? But this wasn't my... This is going to be it, guys. This was like, this needs to happen. It needs to be a Black man that does it, that's standing in the front of it, and is saying loudly, I stand with you. We can do better. Nothing's going to pass me, you know what I'm saying, that I feel a way about. So, and it's dangerous. The last thing I'll say is, you know, it's uncharted. I'm alone, which I don't like, right? But it's just not, it's not something that men typically are standing alongside of. And what I'm seeing is that people have things that they have done that either they are questioning, they're still actively doing, or they're grappling with how to process that. Right. And so if your person is constantly breaking windows, right? Now you want to stand next to me when I'm telling people don't break any windows. How's that look? Right. So, you know.
And that's where everybody can find you?
Breaking windows? Yep, exactly. But, you know, DanielLaurent.com, BlackDollarUS.com. This sweatshirt in particular is purple. Domestic violence awareness, it has corrective action as the only option. I wore that intentionally for this interview. 80% of the proceeds for Miss Hoodie goes to the two organizations that I do work with, because I want to support them in any way I can not only with my presence, but financially.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, definitely if you can support, that would be appreciated. Anyone listening.
Yes, Lord. Man, it's been an honor having you on the platform. And to be honest, I love the way you showed up today. I almost feel like we need to do a part two of this.
Yes.
That make it absolutely more authentic and more organic, for more empathy to be drawn out of the real experience, real time. And I love the Black Dollar brand. Ladies and gentlemen, go get you a hoodie. Ladies and gentlemen, go check out Cry for Help. If you guys
Cry for Me.
Cry for Me. Go check out Cry for Me at DanielLaurent.com. And Brother D, it was an honor.
Thank you.
Yes, so Lord, this is Cowboy 347. I believe that nothing happens on accident. I believe that we can elevate any and everything, no matter what we're subdued to. Why? Because we all are here on purpose. And let's get smarter by the day. Yes, Lord. Man.